The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
The Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way not in accordance with truth, and show deference to no one, for you do not partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this, and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Finally, we're greeting the fall, I think, as we begin to feel a little more coolness in the air. We almost need to check our calendars to make sure it's really mid-October. Unlike most of our country, we Santa Barbarans are not tipped off by brilliant autumn colors in nature. I personally have to see the pumpkin patch stands along the highway, fall flowers at the market, or Halloween sales to be reminded of kind of where we are. Whether or not we can relate to the atmosphere of fall is really inconsequential in light of nature's reality. Crops have matured and need to be harvested. If we miss the opportunity to bring in our bounty, our lives and economy will drastically be affected. Where would we be without food stores and careful planning? God's good creation has given us cycles of life to the earth, and we can't ignore them. The same could be said for our life in the body of Christ. What fruits of our labors do we harvest now to make a difference in the life of the church? What bounty of blessings make it possible for us to share the good news of Jesus Christ? Our gospel reading this morning raises the question about money and how it should be spent by faithful Jews during the time of Jesus and the Roman occupation of Palestine. A question of religious law is posed. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor? Jesus is expected to respond. What appears on the surface as a simple question, in actuality, is a question of entrapment, and the lesson to be learned is one of hypocrisy. Jesus's answer is often interpreted in our modern day as a statement enduring separation of church and state, but that was not the intent of his answer. So let's look at the context of all this to get a better understanding. We find Jesus being challenged by a very unlikely team of Jews. And I say unlikely because Pharisaic disciples and Herodians were opposed to each other. As you might recall, the Pharisees were Jewish leaders in the community who were strict observers of the Mosaic law. Fine detail of the law. The Herodians, on the other hand, were a priestly class of Jews who wished to perpetuate the monarchy. They were allied with Herod Antipas, who had been named king of the Jews by Rome and achieved power and influence through their collaboration with him and the Roman authorities. You might also recall his famous father, Herod the Great, who ordered the slaughter of all male children in Bethlehem, 2 years old and younger, upon hearing the birth of Jesus from the traveling magi. The Pharisees regarded the collusion of the Herodians with the Romans as treasonous. After first offering flattery to Jesus for his ability to be impartial, the Jewish team then asked him, "Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" What sounds like a yes or no question really isn't. Jesus responds with the question, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites?" Jesus then asked to be shown a coin, the coin that was used for the tax. He's shown a denarius, a Roman coin with the image of the emperor. He asks, "Whose head is this, and whose title?" They answer, "The emperor's." Jesus replies, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." A few notes on this. To ask if it is lawful to pay taxes to the emperor, the meaning of lawful here is the same thing as asking, "Is it in line with the Torah, or religious law, to pay taxes to the emperor?" Only Roman coins could be used to pay the tax. The inscription on the coins, or denarius, would have been accompanied either by the image of Caesar, stating Caesar was the son of the divine Augustus, or the image would have been of Tiberius, again affirming his identity. Either way, the coin would have been seen by the Pharisees as idolatrous and therefore against the commandments. They would have avoided all contact with it. To make the point more clear, only shekels, the money used by the Jews or Israelites, was allowed to be used at the temple for offerings and purchase, requiring the need for money changers to be set up at tables outside the temple walls. Knowing how the Pharisees felt about the Roman coins, it must have been the Herodians who produced the coin for Jesus to see. By doing so, they showed that they were in possession of an idolatrous object. How embarrassing for them, as well as the Pharisees. The Herodians were in contact with something idolatrous, and the Pharisees, who scrupulously obeyed the law, appeared to be siding with them to discredit Jesus. Now we understand why Jesus used the word hypocrites in this word exchange, and let us note that Jesus was not the one in possession of the idolatrous coin. He had to ask for one to be shown to him. At a glance, it would appear that Jesus was in a no-win situation. Had he answered yes to the question, "Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor?" he would have offended the Pharisees in the sense of violating the law of Moses. Many of them saw paying taxes to an occupying government as treasonous, and touching a coin depicting the emperor's image as offensive. If Jesus answered no to the question, the Herodians would have accused him of an act of treason against Rome. On the one hand, he would be seen as a zealot, and on the other hand, he would be seen as a Roman sympathizer. Aware of this, Jesus gave his answer give to the emperor things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's. A better translation might be to give back what is due to both the emperor and God. A tax might be paid to Caesar, but allegiance belonged to God alone. God's due was the complete devotion of the believer, and believers bore the image of God, for God created them in his image. The failure of the Pharisees and the Herodians to entrap Jesus would have been seen as a public humiliation, and they were exposed as hypocrites. So what does it mean to give back what is due in this time and place? We are in the time of stewardship in the church, while we are in a time of harvest in the world. The meaning of both can be intertwined. Our harvest can be an ingathering of the fruits of our labors over the past year, what we earned to exist. It can also be an ingathering of our blessings over the past year, a careful consideration of all that has enriched us spiritually. And what shall we do with it all? How will we respect God's commandments, summed up so perfectly by Jesus, to love God with all that we are, and to love our neighbors as ourselves? Do we help maintain our church and programs so others might journey with us in worship and discovery? Do we share our potential harvest to make the world a better and safer place, to respect the image of God in all persons, to ease poverty, disease, violence, and illiteracy? Do we pray that others might have the same blessings we enjoy, and then do our best to bring hope to fruition? What can we do not to be hypocrites in the eyes of Jesus? We can give to the emperor what is due the emperor, and give back to God what is due to God, the benefit of our harvest and our blessings. Let us give back to God the benefit of our harvest and our blessings. Amen. Please stand. Let us profess our faith together in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, light from God, true light, true God, begotten, not made.